Looking back, now that I'm finally here, I can honestly say I never thought this day was going to come. I never thought this day was going to come for a lot of reasons. First off, like almost everyone who's gotten up here before me has said, when you're a freshman, you dream about being up here speaking at the 5:45 service at the Henderson Church of Christ. But I also never thought I was going to be up here because I never thought I was going to come to Freed. My whole life, I didn't want to have anything to do with Freed. I didn't like the place, mostly because I just heard so much about it from people back home begging me, go to Freed, go to Freed. And my whole life, I thought, why in the world would I want to go there? So I never thought that I would be up here for that reason, but I also never thought I would be up here because when Austin emailed us this summer asking if we wanted to speak, I said yes. I was so excited because I'd wanted to do this ever since I was a freshman. And then he told me, I'll email you in about 2 weeks, so be ready. I'll give you the topics. I'll give you the dates you can pick from, and then I'll just get back to you. And so I was waiting for him to get back to me, and my sort of routine every morning in the office at the church I worked at was to check my emails every morning, see if there was anything I needed to get back to. But I guess the morning Austin emailed all of us, I was busy. I hadn't been at the office. I was with the preacher somewhere else. And I get on my email and see that he sent us the topics. And this is about lunchtime, so I'm so excited to look through these topics, to pick what I'm going to speak about so that I can really, truly be excited. And then I get on and realize that there's only one topic and one date left, and that is tonight. And if I had to pick the date specifically, it probably wouldn't be the week before finals when all the papers and the projects are due. But nonetheless, I'm so excited for this topic. As Austin said, we're talking about where do you stand in your salvation. I want to thank all of the guys who helped me. For Micah, he's my oldest friend at Freed. I've known him since I was in middle school. Ben and Curtis are two of my best friends in the whole world, and I want to thank them for helping me out. But also, my little brother, Robbie, led Scripture, and I want to thank him as well. It's truly been a blessing getting to spend this semester with him, and it's been one of the highlights of my entire time at Freed. I want to thank all of you. I want to thank the elders. I want to thank Austin for picking me. Like I said, this service means so much to all of us students. And this being my senior year, I've been looking back at a lot of different things. And this is one of those things that I'll remember my whole life. And this service is one of those things that I'll miss once I leave this place. I'm not looking forward to it. Like I said, though, this is my senior year. And when you're as emotional as I am, you tend to make a lot of things less important than they really are. And that's been this whole semester for me. Everything I do, I think this is the last time I'm going to do that. This is the last club event. This is my last time playing this intramural sport, last time having a first day of class in college. And it makes the semester a whole lot more sad than it really needs to be. But the thing that sort of freaks me out the most about being a senior is for the first time in my life, I don't know what's coming after this. I don't know what job I'm going to get. I don't know where I'll be living. Anytime I go home, the first thing people ask me is, so what are you doing when you graduate? And I have no answer. And I think a lot of seniors are probably like me in this aspect. And I don't like this because, you know, as people, we like to plan out our entire lives. We like to say, well, I'm going to go to this college. After that, I'm going to marry this person. I'm going to have this many kids. I'm going to have this job. I'm going to live here. I'm going to live in this dream house. And we plan out our entire lives. But you see, when we do this, we never really include the negative things. We never include the loss of a loved one. We never include being fired from a job. When we plan out our lives, we sort of assume everything's just going to stick to our plan. And while that would be ideal, unfortunately, that's never how things turn out. Things rarely go according to our plan. And the truth is, we really don't have a clue what's going to happen. I don't have a clue what's going to happen 5 minutes from now. I could still be speaking up here. I could faint. I could have a heart attack. I could walk out of this building tonight, get hit by a car. Don't know what's going to happen. Preferably that won't happen. But we also don't know what's going to happen because at any moment, our Lord could return. At any moment, this whole world could be wiped away. And we'll be standing in front of our Savior on the judgment day. And like Austin said, and I previously stated, that's our topic tonight, is where do we stand in our salvation? And a lot of the things I say tonight are not going to be new. They're going to be sort of a reminder. And I know a lot of people don't like lessons like this. They think, well, I've heard all this stuff before. But I really think the things that we're going to talk about tonight, while we've heard them so many times, we tend to forget. And we don't really live our lives like we've heard these things before. And I really want us all tonight, myself included, to really reflect on our own lives. I don't want you to think about the person next to you. I don't want to think you to think about your boyfriend, your girlfriend, your friends back home. I want you to think about yourselves. And at times this lesson might not sound like it's directed towards Christians. It might sound like it's directed towards those who maybe haven't been baptized yet. But trust me, this lesson is for everyone. And I want us, first and foremost, to just understand that when we plan out our lives, when we plan out the future, we need to live our lives like we know that the judgment day is coming. And that's where we're going to spend our first part of this lesson tonight. If you would, turn to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25, starting in verse 1. Then the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them. But the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and slept. But at midnight, there was a cry, "Here's the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise answered, saying, "Since there will not be enough for us and for you, go rather to the dealers and buy for yourselves." And while they were going to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered, "Truly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour." This is a parable that's probably familiar to most of us in here. We've heard it our whole lives. We have, we've heard sermons, we've heard classes about this parable. And honestly, this is one of those parables that used to freak me out when I was younger. And honestly, we're going to read a lot of those verses tonight. But what I get from this verse most of all is that we need to be prepared. We need to be prepared. And I want to look at verse 13 specifically. "Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour." Nobody knows when the judgment day is coming. This is a fact that we are all probably familiar with. We don't know the day nor the hour. And this isn't just a concept that's discussed in this parable. I want to turn to 1 Peter chapter 3, the verse that Robbie has already read for us. And keep your finger in Matthew 25. We will be coming back there and referring to this parable throughout the rest of the lesson. I want to read verse 10 again, of 2 Peter chapter 3. "But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved. And the earth and the works that are done in it will be exposed." Here we see the day of the Lord described as a thief in the night. And again, we read of this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 2. "For you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night." We don't know when Jesus is coming back. And honestly, that scares most of us. As humans, like I said, we like to plan everything out. We like to know every detail about our lives. We don't like uncertainty. And the fact that we don't know the most important date in our lives scares us. The fact that we don't know when we're going to be judged scares us, because we have to be prepared constantly. So what does this mean for us? I want to keep reading, starting in verses 11 through 13 in 2 Peter. "Since all these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of people ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness, waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be set on fire and dissolved, and the heavenly bodies will melt as they burn, But according to this, his promise, we are waiting for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. We understand that we need to be prepared, but what does this truly mean? First of all, we read here, Peter tells us we need to be anticipating this day. We need to be waiting for this day when the Lord comes back. He says we need to be hastening it. We need to be constantly aware that our judgment is coming. And because of this, we need to live lives of holiness. As the New King James, which was version read earlier, live lives of holy conduct. And we need to be waiting for the new heaven and the new earth where righteousness dwells. If we want to be there, we need to be righteous people. We need to be prepared. As we read the parable of the 10 virgins earlier, the foolish virgins weren't prepared. They didn't bring enough oil. And so when the bridegroom came back, they were caught unprepared. They had to go. They had to get more oil. And because of this, they missed out on the opportunity that they had so long waited for. They had paid the ultimate price. And I think one of the biggest excuses, one of the biggest lies we like to tell ourselves, especially as Christians, is I've got time. Human beings think they have all the time in the world because, like I said, we don't live like we're going to be judged one day. We don't live like we're going to face our Savior. We think we can get our lives right later. And this doesn't just apply to those who haven't been baptized. This applies to all of us. We all have sin in our lives. We all have struggled at some point with some sin that we may not have been able to get out of our lives, some sin that was a habit for us that came over and over again. And you may have been guilty, just as I have been, of saying, I've got time. I can push this back. I don't have to get this right now. And maybe you've even been guilty of saying, surely the Lord is not coming back right now. I can keep doing what I'm doing. I think we've all been guilty of this, especially this week with all the projects, all the papers that we have due. If you're like me, the very first day of class, whenever the teacher hands you the syllabus, you look at all the things you have to do. You look at the papers, the tests, and you look and say, well, that's not due until December. I don't have to start on that for a couple more months. And you do that for every single class, which means that maybe in 1 week or maybe 2 weeks, you have five papers due, like so many of us have had this week. And it comes back to bite you. And the more you put these things off, the more you realize that you end up running out of time. The more you push things back, the less likely you're going to be able to get them done. And again, the five foolish virgins thought they would have the time to go to get their oil, to come back and meet the bridegroom, but they were wrong. And then this is the part that scared me most. When they come back, when they knock and they plead with the bridegroom, please, let us join you. Let us be a part of this feast. He looks at them and says, I never knew you. And that is a terrifying thought, to think that the bridegroom could come back, that our Savior could come back someday and say, I never knew you. And so I want to ask us all a question tonight. I want to ask myself a question. Are you ready? Am I ready? Are we living like we're aware that we're going to be judged? And I want us to really think about this question tonight, because there's going to come a day when you face Jesus. There's going to come a day when I face Jesus, and we have to be prepared. We don't want to be like those foolish virgins who beg and plead, please, Jesus, let me in. And he looks at us and says, I never knew you. I never knew you. Turn to Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Again, this is one of those verses that scares a lot of people. It scares a lot of people because we read this and we see these people who casted out demons, who prophesied, these people who did so many great things in the name of Jesus, and Jesus tells them, "Depart from me. I never knew you, you workers of lawlessness." And we ask ourselves, well, am I like this? Will I be there on the judgment day and say, "God, I went to church every Sunday. I went to church every time the doors were open. I got up, I preached, I read scripture, I sang songs. I did so many great things in your name." And we fear that the Savior will look us back and say, "Depart from me, I never knew you, you workers of lawlessness." And we also ask, if these people aren't getting in, if Jesus says that he does not know these people, then who does Jesus know? Who is entering the kingdom? And I think the answer is clear here from verse 21. "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." The one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. And I don't think it's a coincidence that shortly after this, directly after this, verse 24, Jesus ends the Sermon on the Mount by saying, "Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock." And after this, we read the story of the wise man and the foolish man who built his house on the sand. And he says, the wise man listened to the words that Jesus said, and he stood firm. His house stood firm. But the foolish man, he listened to these things. He heard these things. He didn't listen. He didn't do them. And great was his fall. And to understand this more, understand who truly will be in the kingdom of heaven, I think we need to turn back to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25, starting in verse 31. "When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep on his right, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by the Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me.' Then the righteous will answer him, saying, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you?' And the king will answer them, 'Truly, I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these my brothers, you did it to me.'" Who will enter the kingdom of heaven? Those who serve. Those who see those in need. Those who see their brothers, their neighbors in need and say, "I'll give you food. You're thirsty? Let me get you some water. Let me clothe you. Let me take care of you in your time of need." Jesus goes on, if we were to read, we won't for time's sake, if we were to read verse 41 and on, he would say that those who don't do this, those who see those who are sick and don't give them drink, those who see the hungry and don't feed them, those people won't enter into my kingdom. So who's going to enter the kingdom of heaven? Those who do the will of the Father, those who hear the teachings of Jesus and actually apply them to their lives, those who help their neighbor, those who serve. And so again, I want to ask all of us tonight, are we ready? Are we ready? This whole semester has been about taking a stance. And where do we stand on all these issues? And so tonight, we ask ourselves, where do we stand? Where do we stand? And I want to turn back to Matthew chapter 7 to truly look at this question. Starting in verse 13. Matthew chapter 7, starting in 13. "Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide, and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter by it are many, for the gate is narrow, and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few." Yet again, another verse that can terrify a lot of people. Wide is the gate, and easy is the way that leads to destruction. If we had our way, it would be the exact opposite. If we had our way, the easiest path would be the path that leads to life. We don't like to take the difficult path, but that's exactly what Jesus says the path to life is. So tonight, we can be on one of two paths. We can be on the path that leads to destruction, or we can be on the path that leads to life. And he says here that many people are on that path to destruction, which I think is what scares a lot of us. And I think it's clear from Scripture and from this verse that we cannot be on both paths. I think a lot of times we try to fool ourselves by saying, well, Sunday morning, I'm going to go to church. I'm going to get up, put my best clothes on, put on a good face, and I'm going to act like a Christian. I'm going to maybe lead a song, maybe teach a Bible class. But then as soon as church is over, I live a completely different life. I think many of us, myself included, have been guilty of this at some point in our lives. And so we try to sort of hop back and forth between which path we're on, but in reality, we can only be on one path. We can be on the difficult way that leads to life, or we can be on the easy way that leads to destruction. And so again, I ask you tonight, where do you stand? If the bridegroom came tonight, where would you be caught standing? Would you be with the wise virgins or the foolish virgins? Would you be with the sheep or the goats? Would you be on the path that is easy or the path that is hard? And I don't want this lesson tonight to be a negative one. I don't want to talk about all the ways about what it's going to be like when we're unprepared the whole time. I also want us to think about how great it's going to be when Jesus comes back, if we are prepared, if we are like those wise virgins. Think about what it was like. They'd been waiting so long for the bridegroom to come back. They'd wanted this so bad. They prepared themselves, and finally he comes. They get to enjoy this feast. Think about what it's going to be like when Jesus comes back, if we're prepared and we get to enjoy an eternity with him, an eternity in heaven with him, with our God, singing praises, dwelling with them for eternity. I can't imagine what it's going to be like. We have verses we could read in Revelation that tell us about the street of gold and how great it's going to be, how God will wipe away every tear. But we only get to be a part of that if we are prepared. If we are living the life that walks down the path to eternal life. So again, I ask us tonight, where do we stand? If we look at our lives and say, well, I haven't been doing the will of the Father. I haven't been serving other people. I haven't been living a life of holy conduct and of righteousness. Thankfully, we have a way to get back on the right path. Thankfully, our God is good, and he has provided a way to eternal life. Turn to Ephesians chapter 2 with me tonight. Turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Starting in verse 1. And you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Here we see a similar image of walking down the path that leads to destruction. He said we were dead in trespasses. We were walking the same way that the rest of the world. We were giving in to the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes. We were giving in to our temptations and walking down a path that leads to destruction. But thankfully, we have a God who is rich in love, who is rich in mercy, and he offers us his grace so that if tonight we find ourselves unprepared, we can make a change. Not because of anything we do, not because of the great works, lest any man should boast, but we're saved by the grace of God through our faith. So tonight, the most important thing that I can say to you is, it's not too late. It's not too late for you, it's not too late for me. If we find ourselves living the wrong type of life, if we find ourselves unprepared for the judgment day, we can make a change. All we have to do is repent, come to Jesus. Whether that be baptism, whether you're already baptized, it means repenting. It's not too late. Because there's nothing worse than on that day when Jesus comes back, he looks at us and says, I never knew you. And on that day, it's going to be too late. Just like it was too late for the foolish virgins who begged to enter into his kingdom, who begged to be a part of that feast. He said, I don't know you. And it was too late for them. But it's not too late for us tonight. It's not too late to make a change in our lives, to say, I want to be prepared for Jesus. I want to live my life like I know there is a judgment. In Acts 22, after Paul is preaching, he pleads with them, and now why do you wait? Rise and be baptized. Wash away your sins. Why do we wait? Why do we live like we've got all the time in the world? Tonight, if you haven't been baptized, if this is something you've been thinking about, maybe you've said, I've got time, I'll push it off. Why wait? Tonight, maybe you've been struggling with a sin for so long. It's consumed you, it's controlled your life, and you say, I'll just push it off, I'll keep it, keep doing it for a while, because I've got all the time in the world. Why are you waiting when we can make a change now and be prepared? Where do you stand in your salvation? If you need anything tonight, please let it be known as we stand and sing.